Who would agree that one of the things that highlights Christmas and has for many years is light or lights, right? A couple of weeks ago, we put up our Christmas decorations and lights. Tammy did most of it. I helped her a little bit. I helped her get the things down out of the attic. But even that part was kind of small because I stood at the bottom of the stairs while she went up and down and handed me everything. But we got them up. And what I noticed about, well, all the decorations was they all had lights with it, right? So we put up the big, Tammy put up the big tree that was covered with lights. She put up trees in all the bedrooms that were covered with lights. And the reindeer in the front yard had lights on them. The little Christmas village that she sets up has Christmas lights all over them. The nativity had lights. I mean, there was just lights everywhere. Christmas wouldn't be the same without lights. Can we agree to that? But what if I told you that the Christmas story was not so much about the light as much as it was the darkness into which the light was shown? Isaiah, back in, you know, for the last week we started this series and we went back and saw the prophecies that Isaiah had spoken about Christmas. And last week it was about that God was going to send a child, the Messiah, a Savior, and we saw that come to pass. Well, this week it's about a light, that Isaiah prophesied that there would be this great light that would come into the great darkness that they were living in at that time to save them. But it was also a prophetic promise looking forward to the days that we're living in. But Isaiah 9:2 says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light." And so what was he talking about? Who was he talking about? And why was that important then? And why is it still important for us today? So I want to talk about that, the light, right? Light in the darkness. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for letting us celebrate your birth and the light that you bring into this world, the light that you brought, the light that you still bring into this world that's still available to everyone who is experiencing darkness or walking in darkness. I pray that we would have ears to hear and a heart to open up our windows and let your light in. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right. If you have your Bibles, turn to Isaiah chapter 9 and John chapter 1. Isaiah 9 and John 1. Again, we're going to connect some prophetic dots. We're going to connect the dot from Isaiah 9, where he was prophesying about this great light coming into the darkness, and then we're going to look in the New Testament where John and Jesus and several other people speak to the fulfillment of that prophecy. Well, let's pick up in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1. It starts with this word, nevertheless. I'm going to come back to that word in a minute. Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan in Galilee of the Gentiles. Now, Isaiah is delivering a message from God to God's people about darkness and about light, that they're walking in a season, a period of darkness, because they were being invaded by their enemies. But God was promising there will be a light at the end of this tunnel, and you're going to have to wait for it. We talked about that last week, waiting. Some of us don't like to wait, right? And then verse 2 says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil." So the context of the light in this passage is directly related to the darkness of the circumstances that God's people were living in at that time. They were facing God's judgment. Notice in verse 1, Isaiah talks about the gloom and anguish. that they were living in. In fact, if you go back to the chapter right before this in chapter 8, it talks about the great doom that they were facing and how King Ahaz was feeling the pressure and feeling the fear of that. And but even in the midst of that judgment, while things were dark, while they were still living in darkness, listen, God had a message for them. And the application for us today is, even though you're going through maybe a dark day or a dark season, listen, God has promised light at the end of that tunnel. If you have faith to believe and to wait for his light to shine in your dark circumstances. Amen? Amen. And I want to go back to the word nevertheless. Another synonym for that word is a word that you've heard me use a lot, because there's a lot of them in the Bible, and that's the word but. But is a great word in the Bible when you know the context in which it is used. And it's usually used when there's something negative that we're facing, and then God will throw a but with the gospel. I wrote down a few examples, right? We're unfaithful, but God is what? Faithful. When you're unfaithful, God will help you be faithful. We're sinful, but God loves and saves sinners. That's the good news, isn't it? The bad news is we're sinners and we deserve death. But the good news of the gospel is God loves us more than that, and he's made a way to save us. Who likes that but? Yeah. Or we are in darkness, but light is coming. Or like in this story, in former times there was gloom, but in later times there will be glory. Right? From gloom to glory. I was thinking that would make a good sermon title, From Gloom to Glory. That's the gospel. And then verse 2 mentions the darkness and the light. He says the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Notice they're walking in darkness. They don't just see darkness, they're walking in it. They're either part of it, contributing to it, or they're in it and they're experiencing the darkness around them. And that's still true today, right? We might be walking in darkness, we might be living in darkness, or we might just be living near darkness or around darkness, and that darkness affects us. And what do we mean by darkness? We're not talking about literal physical darkness. We're talking about spiritual darkness. And you can sum up spiritual darkness in this simple sentence: not walking with God, not living for God, not following the Lord Jesus. That's called living or walking in darkness. And who were these people? It says those living in the land beyond the Jordan in Galilee of the Gentiles. I have a map that I showed last week. I added a few things to it. So here's the Sea of Galilee right here. And we talked last week how this was the southern kingdom and this was the northern kingdom. And usually when the enemies attacked, they came in through the north. There was the water here and the mountains here. And they came in through the north. And so that was a strategic attack place. Well, that happens to be in the region or area called Galilee. And they came through Galilee first when they were attacking God's people. In Matthew 4, verse 12, listen to what it says. Now, when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to where? Galilee. To Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. Back when Isaiah spoke that prophetic message, it was those people living in darkness. And 700 years later, it was still those same people living in darkness, but Jesus had come there to bring his light, to give them hope that it wasn't always going to be dark for them, that there was going to be light for them one day, and they needed to put their faith in God to believe for that. It says, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in that region and shadow of death, light has dawned. Notice it's capital L. It's a person. It's Jesus, right? From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Again, we see promise made in Isaiah, promise kept, we read in John, right? And I love the fact that Matthew states that Jesus in Galilee was fulfilling the prophecy. He comes straight out and says, in quotes, Isaiah 9, verse 2. Not only did the light attract people, look at verse 3. It says, you have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest has been rejoiced when they divide the spoil. Not only did the light attract people, isn't that what light does? It attracts. But the nation also grew larger and it produced joy. That's the result of light. Light should bring joy into your life. When you open up the window of your soul to the light of the Lord, there should be joy there. And some of you might be experiencing the joy of Christmas because of that light, and some of you may not be experiencing the joy of Christmas yet. But isn't that the goal? Is to focus on the one who is the light and let him bring light into us so we can let our light shine. I'm going to talk more about that next week. Now let's look at John chapter 1. Listen to what John writes at the very beginning of his gospel about who Jesus is. Verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, capital W, and the Word was with God, capital W, and the Word was God, capital W, talking about Jesus. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the what? Light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Talking about the Jewish people. At first, they did not recognize Jesus as being the promised Messiah. He goes on and mentions John the Baptist in verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, John the Baptist. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, capital L, that all through him might believe. He was not that light. John the Baptist wasn't that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. And that light was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He's pointing to Jesus, talking about Jesus. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own people, the Jewish people, and his own did not receive him. But, there's another big but, as many as received him, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Talking about both Jews and Gentiles. And then we look at the epistle that John wrote, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is what? Light. And in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. We're going to talk more about what it means to walk in the light next week. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. That's the good news. And then Jesus himself declared to be the light of the world. Not just Jesus only, but there were these other disciples and witnesses. But Jesus himself also said, he spoke to them again saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And so from Abraham all the way down to all the tribes and different nations and different tongues, God is continuing to keep his promise of sending light where there's darkness. And we still live in a dark world. But Jesus' light is in it. Now the question is, can the people living in darkness see his light? Next week, I'm going to talk about how we need to be the light. You know, Jesus put his light in us, and we need to be the light for the dark world. But how do we do that? And if we're living in darkness, how do we break free from that so our light can shine? And just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you can't walk in darkness. It's a choice. I'm not talking about a salvation issue necessarily. It could be, but it doesn't have to be. Anyway, Jesus is that light. He's the light of the world. He's the light of Christmas. And he's the reason we celebrate Christmas, and he's the source of our joy at Christmas. And so what have you heard God speak to you through our message this morning? You know, some of you, you've received this great light. You've received the light of the Lord. When you put your trust in Jesus and you asked him to forgive you for all your sins that represent darkness, and you invited the light into your life, into your soul, into your spirit, to shine light on the darkness of your soul, I believe that light dispels the darkness. But who knows that we can also do things to cover up the light and not let it shine. And if the light's not shining, then darkness would prevail, right? And so where are you when it comes to walking in the light or walking in darkness? I want you to bow your heads and just think about a few things so you're not distracted by anybody around you or any movement in the room. I would guess a lot of you've received this light and you know the impact it's had on your life compared to when you lived in darkness. But maybe even those who've received light, maybe you're in a season of darkness. Christians can be in a season of darkness. They've lost their joy. Maybe it's a circumstance that has opened up a problem that we could define as darkness, right? We don't have joy. Maybe we've lost hope in things ever changing. And I know Christmas is supposed to be a reminder of this great light that comes and shines in our dark spots and makes everything better. But while you're still walking in darkness, it's tough. Maybe some of you are thinking, you know, I don't deserve his light. You know, the way I've been living, you know. So there are those that have his light that can experience darkness. And then there are those who have never received the light of his forgiveness. And you're walking, your lifestyle is one of darkness. And that can change. That can change in a minute. We go all the way back to when God first spoke light into being. It was dark everywhere. And in a moment, he said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And I believe that he's that way with spiritual things. If you'll begin to speak light into your dark circumstances, I think you'll experience it will change. But you need to be speaking light. You don't need to be speaking more darkness. You don't need to reaffirm and share and as if maybe you're okay with it, the darkness in your life. You need to call it. That's what it is. It's darkness. I'm walking in darkness, and I need the light. And you go and you ask Jesus, "Jesus, would you shine your light in my circumstances? Would you shine your light on my heart? And if there's anything in me that's spreading darkness, I want to know about it." And maybe you already know about it. What do you do about it? Well, you ask the light to shine his light on that dark spot in your and give you hope for change. If you desire to change, the Holy Spirit will accommodate that. But it's got to come, you've got to desire it. He's not going to force it on you. And all you do is simply say, "Lord Jesus, I need your light in my life today." Or maybe you need his forgiveness. Maybe you've never put your trust in Jesus. Remember, Jesus said, but as many as receive me, to them I give the right to become children of God, to those who believe in my name. Notice he didn't say for those who are living right and deserve my grace and mercy. He said, no, those who are living in darkness, that are tired of it, those that are in a season of darkness and it's gone longer than you desire. He said, I am here to bring light into your circumstance. All you have to do is receive it. And so we're going to do that by faith this morning. For those that are God's children, but you're in a season of darkness, I want to pray for you. And for those that have never come into God's family because you've been living a lifestyle in darkness apart from God, I want to pray for you too. It's never too late to open up your window of the soul and invite the light in and let his light shine through you. Amen. Father, thank you for this message today. Thank you for reminding us about this great light that you had planned many years ago. Your plan was to send this great light into this great dark world and to give us hope for an eternal future. For those that are here today that have received that hope because they've put their trust in you, but they're walking in a season of darkness, or they're experiencing darkness, or maybe they're living next door to darkness, whatever it is, I pray they would have the faith this Christmas to ask the light to shine in that area of their life, to shine on that problem. And to create change, that it wouldn't stay dark. It would lighten up. Joy would begin to manifest instead of depression or discouragement or regret or shame or guilt. Lord, we thank you for shining your light into our hearts and forgiving us so that we don't have to walk with those burdens and those bondages in our life. We need your light. We need your light every day in our life. If you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus as your eternal light and hope for eternity, I want to pray for you. Just slip your hand up if that's you. Just slip it up. I want to pray for you. You specifically know that you're in a dark season. Thank you, young man. You know that you're in a dark season and you need light. And you've been trying to walk a successful life without the Lord Jesus. And today you're saying, you know, I surrender. I can't do it without God. I can't do it without Jesus. Maybe today's the day where you're turning your heart over to him and you're going to let the light come in and you're going to follow the light instead of the darkness. If you're watching online, I can't see your hand, but I'm just going to pray a quick prayer. You can agree with me if you want. But this is your way of speaking to the Lord and communicating to him that you're ready for a change. And what better time than at Christmas, where we celebrate light, for the great light to come in and deal with your darkness. Pray this with me. Lord Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner. I have a sin problem. But I know you died on the cross to pay that penalty for me, which is death. You took death off the plate. And you gave me an opportunity to receive your life and your light. And that's what I need in my life today. No longer will I walk in darkness apart from you, but I want to walk in the light of who you are. I want to walk in your promises. I want to walk in your presence. I want to walk in your power. I want to walk by faith and not by sight. I want to follow your light. I want to follow the light of your word. I want to live in the light of your love. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just fill each of us up with your light, especially at Christmas. and we'll let our light shine bright for you. May you get all the glory for who you are and what you did that very first Christmas and what you made possible for all men, all women, all around the world. And so we say thank you for that. Thank you for being the light in our darkness. And we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right.